thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
So I'm Ricky. Up until last Sunday, for the last 2 years, I've been assistant pastor in McGalbury. Next Sunday, I hope to start a new season of my own church, so I'm looking forward to that. Nervous, but it's fun. And congratulations to JT. Your journey starts today. Blessings for that. And it's all good. So I'm married. I've got 3 kids, 2 of my own, and we've got one under from social services. At 56 years of age, having a 19-month-old baby in your house, I have all these feelings of severe tiredness, so pray for me. But it's been a blessing, an uphill, but a blessing. And so God's good. He's taken us on, my family on a journey, and I've ended up here today. And so I'll be the anti-climax after Heather. Our reading this morning is from Psalm 1, and verses 1 to 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, it must be a youth worker thing, right? Because I was an ex-youth worker within the Church of Ireland. Yes, pray for me. It's a season that's gone, but pray for me still. And we always like to ask questions, so thanks for that, JT, for leading up that one. So this morning, I do want you to show a hands, okay? And be honest, you're in the house of the Lord. Who here uses Facebook? Yeah. Who here uses Instagram? TikTok? Right. Yeah, I use Facebook, okay? Now, a couple of years ago, I felt that I had to get myself an iPhone because I thought if I had an iPhone, my life would be sorted. I could have all my life on the iPhone. But there's one thing about the iPhone that I didn't realize. That every week you get this flash up on your screen, your screen time. And it like shames me. It goes, Pastor Ricky, you've been on Facebook 42 hours the last week, and you've been on your Bible app 1 hour. I'm going, oh, no, I need to change that around. And when I was preparing for this year, it actually did come up, and I did have more time on Facebook than I did have in my Bible app. Because I'm 56, I'm an old dinosaur, I use paper, not apps. And I was just wondering, what is it about Facebook? I want to ask the questions. Have you ever seen these viral posts that goes on Facebook and Instagram and it says, this big pile of cash, or there's a big fancy mansion and it says, like, comment, and share this post. And you'll receive a financial blessing in 24 hours. If you have, you've probably also noticed the thousands of people who have liked it and who are taking their chance of just liking and commenting and sharing. People see it and think, hey, what have I got to lose? But only if it was that easy. But what if I told you today that being blessed by God really does have a simple formula? No gimmicks, no hashtags, no lucky shares. Psalm 1 gives us a spiritual blueprint. It's not a like, share, and comment, but it has 3 steps, 3 planned, for a blessing, to make our life prosperous, straight from the Word of God. And step one is, guard your walk. See, in verse 1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. There's power in who you listen to, where you walk, and where you sit. Walking in the counsel of the ungodly, that's about the voices that you let influence you. Who is influencing you today? Is it the TikTok? Is it Instagram? Is it Facebook? Or is it the news? How many people in the world are getting so... You can see their comments on Facebook. Oh, the world's going mad. Yeah, it is. Because if you read Revelations, this is the whole plan. You know, we're being influenced by so many people and so much in adverts and the TV. Are you walking through life being advised by people that don't walk with God? Who's in your ears? Who's the earworm in your ear? Instagram influencers, TikTok influencers, or God's Word? I have to be honest here. I have an Apple iPhone and it gives me that report each and every week. It just tells me how many times I'm on Facebook. And every couple of weeks I'm going, right, it's coming off my phone. I'm getting too hung up on Facebook and what everybody else is saying. You see, the greatest advice that I was given by a pastor says, see, when you start your journey, have three pastors that you can trust, or three people that you can trust. He says, because Jesus did the exact same. He had the 12 disciples, but he only took three of them to the mount for the transfiguration. He only took three of them into the house where Jairus is, where he saved his daughter. See, Jesus had the 12, but he also had the three close-knit ones who he had with them at times of trouble, when he really needed to have advice. And that's the same for us. Who are we walking with? Who are we listening to? Who are we going to for advice? It also says, stands in the path of sinners. This speaks of an alignment. You see, we all start off walking and now we're standing. You're hanging out. You're identifying with the mindset that isn't moving forward. It's not going forward with God. It sits, and as it's in the seat of the scornful, now you're not even walking or standing, you're sitting. You become comfortable. We identify, and this is one of the things that the church is doing. Sometimes we identify with the world, and we go, we need to listen to that. No, we listen to God. Mark Pugh took over as general superintendent, and one of the first things he did last year when he took over was he called the church to consecration. And he had all the pastors over in Birmingham the end of last year for a day of consecration of the pastors, because he says that the pastors are sinning just as much. He says, because we are a movement. We are the Elam movement. And he says the Elam movement has become stagnant. The Elam movement has stopped moving forward, that we have stopped. And that sometimes we're taking on culture instead of Christ Jesus. And we need to cleanse that from the church. And we need to keep walking forward. We need to keep going forward, Christ Jesus. We can't become comfortable. When the rich man came to him and says, I want to follow you, he says, well, I'm homeless. I don't know where my next meal is coming from. Are you prepared to follow me? Jesus was never comfortable, and the church should never, ever be comfortable. We should never rest on our laurels. Sin is progressive. It begins with a walk. Then it turns into a stand, and then it settles. It just sits there. You see, sin doesn't just come and hit you over the head and that's it. It's so subtle. It's bit by bit. Think about your feeds today. Who's feeding you? Who's feeding your soul today? Sometimes to walk in blessing, you first need to walk away from the ungodly. See, our second step is meditate on God's word. But delight, in verse 2 it says, but delight his word in the law of the Lord. And his law he meditate day and night. Delight in it. It says this person delights in the law of the Lord. That means he doesn't just read the Bible as a textbook. It doesn't mean that we read the Bible because it's a grudge. I have to do it out of duty. I need to read the Bible. We want to delight in the word. Because you see, when we start to delight in God's word, we start to get the desire for it. If you desire something, you start to digest it. And when you start to digest it, it starts to direct your life. You see, it says meditate day and night. This doesn't mean you just sit cross-legged beside your bed going, thinking about God's word all night. You see, it tells us that as we go through our day, the scriptures keeps coming. Our meditation is a deep thinking and a constant thinking. It's like chewing gum. You keep chewing on the word long after you've read it. You might read a single verse in the morning, but you still keep chewing on that verse all day long. It just doesn't go in. Right, I've read it, that's it, done. How many times have you read the word in the morning and come 10 o'clock you're going, what did I read? Please tell me I'm not the only one. It's an age thing, apparently. But we have to. When we read the word, we just can't let it just go, disappear in the ether. I was talking to somebody the other day, and she says that she read the Bible, and she's going, I can't remember, Numbers, Leviticus, how can I remember all this? But she said she was stopped by somebody, and says that all of a sudden all these scriptures started flowing out. I said, yeah, because that's the Holy Spirit. Because you spend time reading the Word of God, it tells us that when it comes to a time, the Holy Spirit will bring it to remembrance. We mightn't be able to think all the time that, do you know what? How do I meant to know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? You don't. Holy Spirit will. Holy Spirit will bring it. That's who we trust. Jesus said that I have to leave because somebody greater is coming. If Jesus was here this morning preaching, who'd be preaching at McGarvey or Whitewell or anywhere else? Because Jesus could only be in one place. He sent his Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is everywhere. It's in each and every one of us this morning. We meditate all the time. We just don't always call it a meditation. You see, how many of us worry? How many of us are going, oh, Monday, tomorrow. Oh, what have I got to look forward to in work? Oh, things are... That's meditation. That's a negative meditation because we're chewing it over in our minds. We're thinking about things that haven't even happened yet, that mightn't even happen, that our day, our Sunday is being ruined because of our thoughts and our meditations of the Monday to come. Monday is the most negative day. But it ruins our Sunday and it ruins our time with the Lord because sometimes we're sitting in church and we're going, yeah, my emails are waiting for me. Oh, I've got a telling off to do or whatever. But you see, when we meditate on God's truth, that's what changes us. See, Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. You see, what's in your heart this morning? What have you been meditating on? And what have you been listening to? And who have you been listening to? Have you been meditating on GB News or the BBC News? And, you know, you see all these protests against Israel and Palestine, and just pray for them. And you're just going, but you don't know the truth. You're taking somebody's thought process, and you're listening to the news, and it's half lies. I had the privilege to spend 20 years in the military, and some of my friends who were out in Afghanistan says, Ricky, do not believe what the news is telling you. He says, because all of it, or the majority of it, is lies. It's made up. He says, if you want to know the truth, be there. If you want to know the truth about Israel and Palestine, go to it. Be in the midst of it. It says, that's the only way that you will know the truth. Step three is, what's God's purpose for you? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You see, once you remove the wrong influence in your life, and thankfully we have a fantastic influence over our young people starting Sunday or Saturday with Relentless. Okay, so Relentless. And build a habit of meditating on the word. That's when God steps in. See, when we set the world to one side, see, when we set us to one side, see, when we pick up the word of God, that's when God starts to come. Like a tree planted by the rivers, this person is rooted. How many of us is rooted in Christ Jesus this morning? You see, Jesus says that he is the vine and we are the branches. He is the one that's rooted. He's the one that's taken it all from the soil and feeding us. Is Christ Jesus feeding you this morning? Is the Holy Spirit making you stable? Are you constantly being nourished by the word of God? You see, the tree doesn't move, but the water flows. That's supply without striving. When I read about water, I automatically, for some reason, think about the woman at the well. When Jesus goes 3 days out of his road to go and meet with this woman, a Samaritan woman, a woman that he should never have been speaking to, but yet he goes there, he meets with her, and he tells her, I'm the living water. Me, you will never thirst again. And what does she do? She's there at high noon. She leaves her pots by the well. I've never seen that before until a couple of weeks ago. She left her pots by the well. Jesus changed her direction in life immediately. And she left her pots of water and she went straight to the people and said, I've seen him. And she became the first evangelist. You see, she didn't just sit down beside Jesus and look at him in awe. She got up and she left and she said, come. I've seen him. Come. How many of us need to get up from Jesus in the morning and say to family and friends, come. I've seen him. I've met with him. Come. See, when the water flows, it's Christ Jesus is from his belly, and through the Holy Spirit, it's quenching our thirst. He's feeding us. He is the constant supply. We don't need to get up in the mornings and start striving looking for him. He's already there. When you're planted in the word, God brings what you need. You see, God brings what you need, not what you want. How many of us have to learn that it's not the wants that we get, it's our needs. And one of the greatest things that, you know, when you go out to Zimbabwe and you heard this morning and they've got nothing. There was actually a poll taken and it actually shows that African kids are the happiest kids. And you wonder why. And this is the answer that they came up with. It's because they don't have choice. Our kids today have too much choice. And when you have choice, and it was described to me one time, because you see, my wife's a counselor, and she tries to counsel me all the time. And she said, if I had 3 chocolates in my hand, and she says, right, yeah. She says, we're all the same. You just take one. But however, if I put 6 chocolates in my hand and they're all different, what happens then? You're going, oh, which one will I pick? Oh, which one will I take? You see, when choice comes in, life becomes difficult. But them kids in Africa, they have what they have. And I remember a pastor speaking when he was out in the jungle, and he said to the people there in the tribe, and he says, so where's your dentist? Jesus. Where's your doctor? Jesus. And that made me think, and I'm going, I'm complaining because I have to wait 2 weeks to see a doctor or a dentist. If Jesus doesn't turn up for them, they die. I'm going, wow. But they're so rooted in Christ Jesus. They know that Jesus is their healer. He knows that he is the one that fixes all things. He's the one that brings forth fruit in every season. There is a season in your life. Some of you may be in the season of springtime where you've got new beginnings. You've got new things happening and life could be exciting and you just can't wait to see what God's doing. Or some of you could be in the summer growth where there's growth and there's heat and everything's just rosy and you get up every morning and you couldn't be better. Or some of you could be in autumn. Things are starting to change. Things are starting to shed. Life isn't just as rosy as it was when it was in the summer. Or some of you here this morning could be in the winter, where God seems to be dormant. God seems to be silent. The things just seem to be dead. Things just seem to be going wrong. But you see, in every season, it says, you still will be fruitful. Even in winter, God is working underground. You see, one of the things that I've come to learn, I'm a attorney, right? I'm not one of these people that does all that. The closest thing I get to farming is Tesco's, right? So I have to rely. Well, no. Actually, my daughter has a wee pony. I go and get hay for her. So I talked to a farmer, and he was telling me, he says, see when winter comes. He says, see when the frost, he says, we need the frost. He says, if we don't get a frost over, maybe I'm talking to Tix and Granny suck eggs here, but this is for me, Tony, all right? So he says, ice and frost, he says, it kills off everything. He says, but underneath, everything's being germinated. Everything is being renewed. And he says, I just felt that the Holy Spirit was saying, that's the same for you. You may find that life is icy and cold and desolate, but it says, underneath, I'm germinating in preparation for spring, for when the new growth comes. There's things in your life I need to kill off. There's things I need to disconnect from because you're going down the wrong path. So this is why sometimes we have to go through the winter season. God never stops blessing those who stay planted in him. Whatever he does, you shall prosper. This isn't prosperity. I'm not saying that, you know, raise out your hand to Ricky and I'll pray for you and you give me 50 quid. Do you remember those old evangelists? Some of you aren't old enough, in the 80s and the 90s. Oh yeah, put your hand towards the TV, send me $50 and I'll give you a blessing. No, the Lord's free for everybody. But so many people aren't planted in Christ Jesus that they rely on that second-hand blessing. God wants to bless you. He wants you to be prosperous. And I don't mean as the world sees you. I don't mean that he wants to bless you as the world sees in cars and money and stuff. Yes, he does give those things, but that's not the blessing that I'm talking about this morning. What I'm talking about is the wholeness, the peace. And yes, even the provision of God when the perfect timing, when we accept his blessing. There is times that he blesses us with money when to meet our needs. Sometimes you will make a millionaire. Sometimes you'll be a pastor and you'll be skint. Notice something powerful. You do the delighting in meditation. God does the planting, the fruit bringing. He does the prospering. He's the one that gives all things. This is not about you striving. This is about you staying rooted. This is about you staying focused on Christ Jesus. This is saying being fruitful in your daily time in his word. And finally, see, one of the things pastors should always say is, and finally, because 70% of the congregation go, right, we're ready to go, nearly home. And that's the first time you've laughed all day. I've said four jokes, and you haven't laughed once. You say you laugh at that one. I'm not coming back. And all the congregation said, amen. And finally, let me ask you this. Have you ever liked? Have you ever commented? Or have you ever shared one of them money posts? I will be truthful, because the pastor can't lie. There has been times in my life I've went, there's bills coming in. I wonder if I just hit like, share, and yeah, this is amazing. I wonder if I get a blessing from it. We've possibly all been tempted by a quick blessing. The easy miracle. But Psalm 1 shows us that true blessing is not random. It's not a viral thing. It's not a luck thing. It's not a promise with a process, but three steps, a blessing plan. Reject the world's influence. Receive God's word daily and remain rooted and let God prosper you. This morning, wherever you are, whatever season you're in, Jesus' promise to you is, I promise I will never leave you nor forsake you, that he will always be with you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, Christ Jesus is with you. And he is offering you something so amazing this morning, that he is offering you his Holy Spirit, that you will be a vessel for him, that your heart will be filled with the Holy Spirit, that when you find yourself in a difficult time, when somebody is asking you difficult questions, that the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance his word and not your word, that he will bring his truth to your lips. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you and I praise you for this house, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the worship team, Lord. What amazing worship this morning. Lord, I thank you for the table this morning. I thank you that we can come. Thank you that we can join the host of angels in heaven and worship you, Lord, as you are sovereign over each and every one of us, Lord. Lord, I just pray, Lord. I pray that if somebody doesn't know the Holy Spirit here this morning, Lord, Lord, that you will light upon them this morning, Lord. Lord, that they will feel your presence in them, Lord. Lord, come, Holy Spirit. Fall upon this house like rain from heaven, Lord. Lord, and I thank you. And I bless. Thank you for the blessing of this house. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.